Hey, this is John Bozeman. I'm one of your United States Senators, and this is a live call. And if you'd like to ask a question or just kind of visit about some of your concerns, press zero, and that'll give you the opportunity to talk live and ask me anything you might be interested in. We do these on a regular basis. What we're trying to do is allow you to understand what I'm thinking, but more importantly, or certainly as importantly, to understand what's on your mind also, and some of the issues that are facing us both here, dealing with in Washington, and also at the state level. So again, if you're there and you'd like to ask a question, punch zero, and that will get you in line, and we'll start with our questions in a little bit. We don't screen our calls. It's just kind of whoever comes up, and generally we get some really good questions, really good comments. This week, we will be having hearings about the Veterans Choice Program. And what that's about is a program that allows veterans, if they live past 40 miles or if they have to wait over 30 days, then they can access the care that they need in the local community. And so that's been a real boon for veterans. What we're trying to do is expand that to make it where it's a lot easier, make sure doctors and providers are getting paid on time, things like that. So that's something that we're working on really very, very hard, making sure also that our veterans facilities are offering good care, very quality care. And the good news is so far that's been the case. We've got two veterans hospitals in Arkansas, one in Fayetteville, one in Little Rock, and they really do work hard to make sure that veterans are getting the quality of care that they need. But veterans have to travel if they live a distance, and so we'd like to make it such that they wouldn't have to do that. Now, the other thing that's come up in Arkansas that we've dealt with recently is the flooding. And over the weekend, we were able to get the new Secretary of Ag, Governor Perdue, now Secretary of Agriculture Perdue, to come up, and the governor greeted him. I was there. Congressman Hill was there, Congressman Crawford, and we were able to fly him over the affected areas and show him the damage that it's done to our farmers. And you can imagine, you know, you work hard, you get your crop in the ground, and then something like this happens, and it really is devastating. So we were able to show him, and then also we'll be working with him to see what we can do in order to help the situation. So, as I said, if you'd like to ask a question, punch zero, and in just a moment we're going to get started with our questions. So, in fact, let's do that right now. So, let's go to our first caller. Are you there?
Hello? Yes, I am.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful.
It's good to have you on.
Yes, I'm a veteran myself, and I absolutely have had nothing but quality care from the clinic here in Fort Smith as well as the hospitals. Marvelous. We really are.
Well, we appreciate your service. One of the things that we're working hard on is to make sure that our female veterans, people like yourself, are able to be sure and get the care that they need. Veterans facilities were set up very much male-dominated back in the old days. Now we've got 20,000 female veterans in Arkansas, about 2.5 million nationwide, and so lots of women have served, and we appreciate your service, and really are very, very proud of that.
Thank you. Now I have a question. I know there was something that came up about the retired military and paying taxes. I know right now we've got a $6,000 tax exemption. How is that going as far as, you know, the possibility of us having a tax-exempt state on our military pensions?
Well, you know, right now that's not the case, but, you know, the good news is the state of Arkansas made headway in that direction, and those are the kind of things that we're looking at, you know, regarding at a national level. But right now I don't know that there's really any plans to bring that up. It's interesting that you know that you have brought it up, and certainly we'll take a look and see what the deal is. But I always remind people when we talk about veterans benefits, these aren't give me's, these are earned benefits. And so, for service, for serving. So, again, that's something we'd be glad to look at and see what the deal is. But right now, I don't think there's anything really pending.
And I ask that because a lot of people just assume that a person that was in the military and they retire and they get this substantial pension, et cetera, et cetera. But what they don't realize is when I was on active duty, I got a housing allowance, which was $550 a month. I got an additional skill identifier allowance. I got a clothing allowance. I got a food maintenance allowance, which was, they gave us $250 a month for food. Now, I retired in 95, so this was good money back then. My housing was $538 a month they gave me. The uniform maintenance was almost $100. Additional skill identifier was only like 50, and family separation pay, because I went to Panama, and they say you can't take your family, so you get family separation pay. So you add all those little entitlements up, and you come up to about $1,000 a month.
Right.
When you retire, all that whole $1,000 goes away, and you get half of your base pay, which at that point was only $1,100. A person cannot survive on that, and many people have no idea. They just assume that, oh, you get this really large pension. No, that's not so.
No, you really make a good point. And to be honest, I hadn't even thought about it in those terms, in the sense that certainly your base pay was much under the average worker was, for a similar endeavor. That's just how the military is. And yet, in order to help with that, you get these other benefits, some housing. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, get housing and some of these other benefits, but that's not included. It doesn't count towards your retirement in the sense of your base salary. So, again, I appreciate you mentioning it, and that's something else. Like I say, we'll take a look at. But you make a good point. What branch were you in?
Thank you, Bill. Pardon me?
What branch were you in of the service?
Army. Yeah.
Okay, Army.
I know you. I've met you several times. I've met you several times at the job that I have right now.
Yeah. No.
Yes,
well, we appreciate your service very, very much.
Well, thank you so much. It was a blessing, and it was an honor to do it. It truly was, because you'll sacrifice things for your family and for your country, and that's what it's about.
Well, that's what it's about, and the fact that you and others have been willing to do that since our country's founding, that's what's allowed us to be the greatest, freest country the world's ever known. But you had to have that, people like yourself that were willing to step up in times of need. So we really do appreciate your service very, very much. Appreciate your call.
Thank you, and thank you for taking my call. Have a wonderful evening.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Very good. Caller talking about veterans benefits, which we're working on to make sure that the benefits that were promised, have been given, making sure that they get quality health care. Those that were disabled, we're working hard to try and make sure that they get timely decisions. You shouldn't have to wait a couple years for that decision to be made. There's no excuse for that. And the good news is that those wait times have started to come down. So that's is something that is very positive. Let's go to our next caller. Are you there?
Hi, I retired. Yes, I am. How are you?
Yes, ma'am.
I retired from the U.S. Air Force in 1985, and I've been using the VA since 1985. So I've seen a lot of changes over the years. One of the issues I have is with the Veterans Choice Program. If you MapQuest my house or you even drive it, and I've driven different ways, I'm over 40 miles. When I get paid travel pay, I get paid for 40 miles. Yet I'm being denied use of the Veterans Choice Program because they say that I live under 40 miles. And they were authorizing me to use it and then changed it. So I've had inconsistent medical care for several years, ever since moving to Arkansas. So I don't know how to correct that. I've attempted it, and I don't seem to be able to get anywhere with the,
sure.
the VA.
No, no. So you live just a little bit under the 40-mile?
Well, I actually live over 40. I can't drive it in under 40 miles, but
okay.
they say
no,
I can.
And, yeah. You know, early on, they tried to make it line of sight and all of this kind of stuff, and we've worked hard to lessen that, and we are currently, we've just gotten through with a round of trying to improve the choice program for people like yourself. Now we're in the process of actually doing it again, so I appreciate you, you know, bringing this up. So what I'd like for you to do, if you can't drive it in 40 miles, I've got a number for you to call, and we'd be glad to look into it, make some inquiries on your behalf, and see if we can get that
okay.
straight. So you
that
ready?
That would be much appreciated. Hang on. I had to go plug in my phone, and now I have to grab a pen.
I understand.
Because I can't reach it, so I had to unplug to
no,
get to.
Right.
There we go. Now I'm walking back. So, but I didn't want to lose my opportunity
sure.
to ask a question. And I do have a second one, but... that also deals with veteran benefits, but it's a little different. All right, what's
okay.
that number that I need to be calling?
Let me give you this number then. It's 501-372.
Okay. Hang on, for whatever reason, this 10 just not right. Let's switch. All right. This one right. All right, 501.
Yes, ma'am. 372-71. 372-7153.
Okay.
Yeah, so 501-372-7153. And just call the
okay.
office and explain the situation, and then they will ask you for permission to ask the question on your behalf, and then
yeah,
we'll go from there.
It's supposed to be over 30 days. I have consults that have been outstanding since May of 2015 that I've never received an appointment for. And Little Rock VA says that they haven't given you an appointment. They're not breaking the 30-day rule. So they just don't give you an appointment.
Well,
so they're circumventing the system.
No, and that's certainly unacceptable. So we will we'll be glad to help and see if we can get you fixed up. And then again, anybody else, I think you ask a question that there's probably other listeners that are having the same problem. And so they can do the same thing, call the number, and then we'll be glad to inquire on their behalf. You said you had one more
okay.
question about benefits?
I do. And what it has to do with, there was a law passed several years ago that allowed concurrent pay of your retirement
yes.
pay and your VA. And if you read the law, it says that if you're a disabled vet, you meet the criteria. However, every time I've applied for it, they said because I gave up my retirement pay that I'm not entitled to it. Yet my brother gets it, but I can't. And he's also retired.
So are you over 50?
And I don't.
Are you over 50%?
Yeah, I'm 100%.
100%. Okay. No, likewise. Like I said, we'll be glad
70%.
To look at it. Yeah. No, we'll be glad to, when you call in about the other question, we'll be glad to call the people that are in charge of that and understand why that's the case.
Okay, because I
certainly
I
doesn't
even
sound right.
Send in the law. Right, and
yeah.
I even pulled up the law, highlighted it, and put
yeah.
where I stood, and they still denied it through
yeah.
every appeal
well,
level.
Well, the cutoff, like I say, is 50%, but again, let us check into that and see what the deal is. We
oh,
appreciate
you
your service.
Over 50 or under?
Over 50, yes,
so,
ma'am.
Yeah,
so if you're 100%,
yeah,
then yeah. No,
then
no.
I'm good.
Okay, very much. Well, thank
well,
you
I
so much.
It.
And you do your homework and give us a call, okay?
I will do all that. I'll put all my data together, and I will give the office a call. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thanks for calling. Okay, let's go to our next caller. And again, if you'd like to ask a question, punch 0, and that will get you in the line. We're going to be visiting for about an hour, and we'll be glad to answer any questions that we could. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Senator. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I am calling regarding the vote on health care that occurred last week. And I'm trying to understand the Republicans' viewpoint on the fact that women are being discriminated against in such ways as postpartum depression, sexual assault, C-sections, and so on, whereas for men, erectile dysfunction and prostate cancer do not come about as pre-existing conditions, but the Republicans are making many female situations pre-existing conditions. And I was absolutely livid when that vote came across and I heard that these were some of the things that were being put into the health care bill. And I'd like to get an understanding of the Republican point of view on this.
No. And again, I think it's really important to clear that up because the sexual assault, rape, things like that are certainly not considered pre-existing conditions. And as you know, the House passed a bill, and now the Senate will work on it. But I think I said the House passed the bill, but there's nothing in there that precludes people that, you know, that are victims of rape, sexual assault, or any of those kind of things that makes them pre-existing conditions. In fact, there was an article, the Washington Post gave that a 4 Pinocchio.
Okay, so there is no truth to that. That
yes.
is a bad report in the media.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Like I say, again, if you'll Google, you'll see that the Washington Post completely debunked that.
Okay, so as far as the sexual assault, rape, and so on, that's not included. What about postpartum depression or C-sections or things of that nature?
To be honest, I don't know about those things, but I do know this, that I've got a wife, 3 grown daughters, and 2 granddaughters, and I'm very, very, you know, concerned about things like this. And so the House is going to look at what the Senate is going to look at the House bill, see what they did, and then, go from there. So this thing is a long way from over. But I will look hard to make sure that that's not the case.
And I guess to follow up on that, I was watching Paul Ryan on the Sunday morning program yesterday where he was being interviewed by George Stephanopoulos. And he talked about the fact that he was touting the fact that the bill was not 2,000 pages like the Affordable Care Act is. It's a bill that is easily digestible. And so then the question was raised as to why the majority of House members didn't have the time to read it. And then went on further defending it in that, well, they really didn't have a lot to read because our amendments were only a couple of pages long. So in some ways, I don't understand how that's defensible because of the fact that if it was only a couple of pages long since the original bill that they attempted to put through in March, then why couldn't they read a couple of pages of amendments?
No, I think that's the point, though. I think they could. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I agree. And the fact that the majority of them said that they hadn't read it, they have staff to do that, but that a vote was being done without the CBO score, without really a clear understanding of what was in the bill. It's as though it was meant to be just a win for President Trump, and we'll let the Senate take care of it when it gets there. So I am counting on you, Senator Bozeman, to make sure that our rights are being represented as I guess I would think you'd want for your wife, your daughters, and your granddaughters.
No, very much so. Yes, ma'am. And regarding the Congressional Budget Office score, the Senate's not going to take it up until we know what that is. So we're waiting for that now. As soon as we get that, then we'll start. We're working away, but certainly not going to go forward in any way until we know what that bill costs, what it does, get that information, and then go from there. But at the end of the day, we want something that is going to make it such that things are more affordable. And that's really the problem with healthcare right now. You can have access to a healthcare policy, but if you have a $5,000-$10,000 deductible, and then after that, an 80-20 match, in other words, you still have to come up with 20% with the ongoing care, that's not insurance for most Arkansans. So that's the problem. I hear it all the time and see it all the time. So it is a significant problem. In talking to the insurance commissioners and things, I think Arkansas is probably going to have a 20-25% increase across the board as we go into the next year. And so those are difficult problems that have to be attended to. So on the other hand, I understand what you're saying, certainly with discrimination, things like that. And so I will promise you that I will do my best to make sure that my wife and three daughters and two granddaughters are taken care of in the manner that they should be.
Well, and I guess, you speak about the premiums going up. And the deductibles. We have just recently had to go out onto the individual market in order to get our insurance. My husband retired. And I have to say that we did not experience anything like what a lot of people are complaining about. We are below $5,000 for our deductible. Our increase from last year to this year was probably about $100 max, and I think that would be high. I don't think it was that high. And so we're not experiencing the things that a lot of people are complaining about. But at the same time,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but you take a family with two or three kids, and this and that. They truly are a $3,000 deductible for the average Arkansan is tough. And so the problem is that we're seeing these large increases year after year. You can't imagine the pressure that the insurance companies were under last year with the election coming up to keep things down. And so I think you're going to see an explosion. There were 11 states last year that the insurance premiums went up 40% or more. So those are real problems, and there's nothing in there. The trouble with the Affordable Care Act is there's nothing in there that controls cost, and so we've got to get some things in there that make it such through increased competition, various things that go to work on that, or we're simply going to be in a position where nobody can afford it. Lots of people working hard, and they get a little raise, invariably. That raise is eaten up by an increase in their healthcare premium. And it doesn't matter, if you're working at a small business, a medium-sized business, or whatever, or your school teacher, talk to some of your school teacher friends. And I think you'll see that they've seen really significant increases.
Well, I understand that. I've already said my husband retired, and I am in the 50 to 64 age range, and so based on everything that has been said, we're looking at a possibility of 5 times on the premium increase for seniors, and we certainly cannot afford that.
No, I understand.
And,
yes, ma'am.
And I guess I also... it would seem as though the insurance companies are raising their premiums based on the fact that there is no guarantee that the subsidies that were supposed to come about through the ACA are going to come about. And so it seems as though they're putting premium increases in place to offset not receiving those subsidies. And on top of it, I question also the fact that insurance companies are pulling out and leaving people uninsured. In some sense, it seems as though insurance companies are not going to be getting the amount of profit they're used to receiving. And so it's like, well, let's get out of here. And then who is the loser? The residents are the losers.
Sure.
And so,
well, there's several counties in Tennessee that, again, you'll have the ability to have a voucher. You'll be on a plan, but there's simply nobody in the county that takes it. The insurance companies have pulled out, not because they're not making the profit they're used to, because maybe they lost several hundred million dollars, you know, last year, several hundred million dollars the year before. So, you know, there's no business that can do that and stay in business. And so that also is affecting the individual market and making that rise also. So it's a 18% of our economy. I'm a person that doesn't feel like we just need to do something. We need to take our time, and we need to do it right, because it is a big deal. It's a big deal for you and your family. It's a big deal for all of us. And so I think that's the commitment in the Senate, is to, you know, try and work through it in those terms.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking my call, hearing my concerns. And
no, very much so.
The watching to see what comes about out of the Senate. And
sure.
I certainly hope that the fears that have been created by the House bill do not materialize, and that saner minds can bring about a better solution.
Well, thank you so much for calling. We really do appreciate it, and I understand your concerns. You know, and they're again, this is so very important for all of us to get right and to make it such, not only that it works now, but it works as we go forward. So, thank you a bunch, and appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Let's go to our next caller, and if you'd like to comment or question, then punch zero, and that'll get you on. We've had some really good callers, really good concerns about several issues tonight. Are you there?
Hello?
Are you there?
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, I'm good. My name's Christina. I'm from Cane Hill, Arkansas. The caller right before me asked a lot of the questions I had about whether or not the CBO has given out their score. I'm worried because I have an independent policy that
sure.
If insurance companies are kind of given free range, then I'm going to lose my insurance. And while my family, I've been blessed with a very healthy family here recently, I've actually been taken seriously ill. And so I'm worried about the future going forward, the future of my kids, the future of my family, because a lot of my families, they did not have health insurance before the ACA. They
sure.
were pre-existing conditions. They were, they weren't covered. And
right.
So
tell me about your insurance.
My insurance.
Are you through the ACA, or you just have individual insurance?
We had individual insurance, and we had our employer insurance, but
uh-huh.
it started getting too high. It was $165 every 2 weeks. With a $5,000 deductible for all of
yeah.
us, and I mean, we each had to meet that. So we just.
No, I understand, and you're like I was talking about. I mean, this is a very real problem.
Yeah, so we jumped ship, and we got an individual policy, and then when the ACA rolled out, our insurance company kept us because we met all the criteria for the ACA,
uh-huh.
and they even let us stay grandfathered in. So my costs have not seen the gigantic jumps that everybody else has. I think mine's risen 40% since maybe when I first started.
Right.
So I've actually been very blessed with my insurance. So that's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about, am I going to lose my insurance? Am I going to get to keep it? Because like I said, I just recently became seriously ill, and we don't know what's wrong. And so I'm worried about that.
No, I understand it, and you know it's a difficult situation. So, no, I don't want you to lose your insurance, and certainly I don't want people that maybe make a little bit more money than your family that don't qualify for the ACA to be in the situation that you were in.
Right.
And simply just can't afford it. I mean, they've lost their insurance because, the premiums and the deductibles are going up year after year. And nobody knows that better than you. So the House passed their bill. We don't have the congressional score yet. We're waiting for that before we, officially get to work on the we're actually working on it, but nothing will be done for sure until we get the score, and then we'll be looking at it, looking to see what the House was doing, what they were trying to do, and then everybody working together will come up with the idea that the Senate comes up with, and I suspect it'll be very different than the House bill. And
that's
then at that point, yes, ma'am. And then at that point, then what happens is the Senate bill, you have a group that sits down with the House, and then they start what we call a conference committee, and they try and make the differences. They negotiate the differences, and then come up with something that hopefully will solve the problems that you're worried about, and make
right.
it such that then the House can pass it again, and then the Senate will pass it again. So it's a long process. It takes time. But
right.
but as I said earlier, I'm not interested in how quickly it gets done. I want to get it done right. And so we need to take the time that we need to and make sure we come up with a product that that really does take care of your concerns.
Right. And I appreciate you taking the time to call us and everything and give us an opportunity to ask questions and things like that.
You had a good question.
I where I'm sitting at, I was able to get this stuff done early, but I know family members
sure.
who this is all going to affect, and you said, you're not going to pass anything that would affect, well, that would hurt your kids. But one of the things that we are hearing, and it is kind of scary, and I kind of would like at least one of my senators to end up and say, we're not going to allow this, is that women are listed as having pre-existing conditions, whether you had a C-section, a natural birth, it doesn't matter, you are pre-existing. And I would just like somebody to stand up and say, this isn't going to be acceptable, we're not going to tolerate this. I just like to see somebody stand up and say, no.
I understand. And again, as I really do, in fact, all of my my children, my wife had a situation where she had to have C-sections, for our three girls. And so, and did fine, but those things happen. And
yeah.
so, but you're right. We do need to protect individuals like that. So
yeah.
I appreciate you calling.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time. Very good. Good caller. Lots of good comments and questions. And certainly, a person that has really struggled with health care. And so we're working hard to try and sort these things out so that we come up with a system that makes it such that it is affordable. Besides having, accessibility, if you have a plan that nobody will take, or if you have another plan that's offered to you, but the premiums are through the roof and the deductibles are through the roof and things, then the copays, all of that simply doesn't work. Now, let's go to our next caller. If you want to ask a question, punch 0. That'll get you in line. And we're trying to work through as many callers as we can. Are you there? Okay, I think we've...
Are you looking
yeah.
for me?
Yeah, I'm listening for you.
All right. Thank you very much for taking my call. I didn't realize that I'd come on. Sorry about
well,
that.
Well, we're not... this is... I don't know that we're very adept at getting... Again, we don't screen calls. We just whoever pops up. So because of that, sometimes there's a little bit of a delay. So,
Senator Bozeman, I'm a veteran.
Yeah.
I'm not a retired veteran. I'm retired, but I'm not a retired veteran. I didn't retire from the military, that is.
So you just served?
I served 6 years in the regular Army and 3 years
okay.
in reserve.
Okay.
I had a year plus a little in Korea back when it was hot. And,
right.
When I got out of the Army, I used the GI Bill and went to college, got a degree in engineering, and had a pretty successful engineering career before I retired.
Uh-huh.
Now, I didn't bother to sign up for VA benefits other than the GI Bill for college and a home loan on the first house that I bought.
Right.
I went to the VA here, a year ago or maybe a little more. A friend of mine who served in Korea the same time I did said, you need to go to the VA and get signed up. You got benefits coming that you're not getting. So I went to the VA to sign up, and they said, you can't sign up. You've been too successful in life.
Right.
You make too much money. And I said, well, what's that got to do with the fact that I served and served honorably? Am I not entitled to benefits for that reason? No, sir, you are not, because you make too much money. Let me say this about my income. The only fixed income I have is my Social Security.
Right.
Everything else is depending on how my 401k produces and
sure.
And the property I own, how it produces income.
How long ago was it when you tried to?
It was about 2 years ago, Senator
okay.
Bozeman.
Okay.
And I went to the office over here in North Little Rock. I live in Pulaski County.
Okay.
And I went over to the office in Little Rock and.
I told them
everything I own and whatever, you know, whatever questions were asked, I
sure.
answered them honestly, and
sure.
they said, well, you can't sign up.
What you might do is, I'll give you the office number again, is give them a call, and they'll ask, like you say, if they can ask questions on your behalf, and then look the fact that you're in Korea, see if you have any service connection problems.
Any
of the ailments that you've got going on right now.
Oh, yeah, I've got cancer. I can't hear
sure.
very good.
Sure.
And there are other issues I'm dealing with. But, you know,
sure.
I got out, I claimed no disability.
Right. Well, let's do that. But those things happen, you know, all the time in the sense that you can be service connected. So let me give you this number.
Okay.
It is 501-372-7153.
Got it. Okay. Now, who will I be talking to?
You'll be talking. That's the Little Rock office, and
okay.
So you'll be talking to whoever answers the phone. Will direct you in the right.
Okay. Let me.
Yeah.
This,
so that, like I say, that's not the VA. That's my Little Rock office. And again, we'll be glad to sort things out. What they'll have to do is ask you for permission, and you have to. They'll get you to get us permission slip signed, and then we'll go forward.
Okay. Thank you very much. I've got to tell you that your staff did an outstanding job in helping me. Getting my military records corrected.
Oh, good.
The Colonel...
Deason?
No, the
Steve
retired...
Gray? Colonel Gray?
Hey, Colonel Gray.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Was it Melissa? Was his assistant?
Yes, uh-huh. Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah. When I got out of the service, I was so anxious to get out and get home, I didn't check my... DD-214 very carefully.
Right.
And they left off decorations and this and that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was such a common thing.
Yeah, in Korea.
Anxious to get home. Yeah. And didn't really care, you know.
Oh, but the colonel found he got in the archives and found the general orders and whatnot that was needed to correct my record. Did an outstanding job, and I have sought on many occasions to commend them. I know he's retired from your staff now, but
I will pass it. I see them, all the time anyway. So I will pass that along, and that's really what it's all about, is trying to use the power of the office for good, and just these things that we can, ask the right questions and stuff, and get the information that people desperately need. So
well,
that's great.
I had been working on it for 12 years. I had contacted every senator and every representative, that the two senators and the representative from my district in Arkansas, mm-hmm. starting back in the 90s, to try to get this straightened out.
Well, I'm just glad that it did get worked out. Yeah,
they got that straightened out and promptly. And I couldn't be more grateful to them for having that kind of a staff to assist with issues like this.
No.
But I appreciate
appreciate you calling it. And like I say, now let's look into this other deal and see if we can be helpful in that regard also. Okay?
I will call this number and we'll go from there.
Yes, sir. Appreciate
you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your service. Okay. Another veteran, again, we do appreciate their service to their country, and hopefully we can see if we can, so much of this is just getting an answer, and, for real answer, and so we'll work hard to try and track that down. Let's go to our next caller. Are you there?
I am here.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is regarding VA and their access to skilled nursing facility care. There is no Arkansas state federal minimum wage requirement for $12 to $15 an hour for staff, and there's also no federal $15 an hour minimum wage requirement for staff in a nursing facility unless you have a VA contract. However, there are many elders out there that need skilled nursing care and are unable to find a skilled nursing center that can accept them because they don't have a VA contract.
Right.
Skilled nursing facilities normally, under Arkansas law, are not required to have 12 or 15 paid holidays either. But those are the requirements if you want to have a VA contract, so that you can accept veterans.
Right.
So I guess my question is on this issue, why do we need to have such strenuous laws for veterans whenever those skilled nursing facilities that are accredited with CMS and they have the star rating system that indicates their quality of care and that kind of thing, and there's so many rules just to bill Medicare and to accept Medicare patients. Is there any legislation to relax that for the VA, because all you're doing is keeping the VA out of a quality nursing center that can assist them with whatever they need and get them rehabbed to home a whole lot faster than waiting on a VA?
Sure. No, it's interesting that you bring that up, because here lately that's come up a lot, and it is a problem in the sense that those regulations were put in to protect veterans, okay? And yet you don't want to have regulations that are so strenuous that nobody will qualify. And you're right, these are facilities that accept Medicare, they accept Medicaid, CMS inspects them, they meet all of those criteria, but it's for some of the reasons that you just outlined, and there's others, they don't qualify for veterans. So that's made it really difficult. And especially, I think, you know, just with all of the healthcare problems, period. But I will be glad that we're in the process of looking at that right now and see what the, you know, what the remedy is at, so that we can make it such that more veterans are able to get the care that they need.
Okay. My other question is related to the healthcare bill that the congressman
yes,
just passed.
Uh-huh.
You indicated earlier to another caller that you weren't sure about the C-section and the all of that related to female stuff outside
right.
of rape and but the other things that she asked about, and those items are one of those things that can be
C-sections and things like that. Yes, ma'am.
Right. Yeah. So they can opt out of that. And so it does appear that women's health is not as important as men's health is. So there's that issue. There's also the issue that I wonder about. You said you didn't read it, that you weren't sure about it because you didn't read it. So why would you...
No, I didn't say that. I'm sorry, I didn't say that. First of all, I'm in the Senate, so I didn't... This wasn't a bill that was before me. I haven't voted on it.
I apologize.
It's confusing.
But if you know that the House voted on it, and
uh-huh.
I mean, don't you have an interest in that? Don't you read what's before the House
so that you
might want to vote on when it comes up before you?
Well, it's not going to come up before me in that fashion. What we're doing right now is not only the House has been having hearings on this, not going through this now for the last several weeks, and so they amended it. They added on, a couple more pages to what they already had. What
Correct.
We're doing is going through the whole bill right now, very, very closely. There wasn't really any reason to do that earlier on because you didn't know what the bill was going to be. So we do know what it is now. We're waiting for the Congressional Budget Office score, and then that will allow us to actually, start working, have all the facts so that we can actually, know what this thing is going to do. So,
I know you're concerned about Tennessee or Georgia or Mississippi or all of those other states, your primary concern has to be Arkansans, those of us that live here, and those of us that are even, have an employer's insurance, because it appears, as it is today, that those rates could also increase. Of course, a lot of people don't understand that the employer picks the plan based on normally of what portion of that they're going to pay, if they're going to pay anything towards the employee's benefits. And so when they do, they want to get something they can afford as a whole for the company, and then
sure.
the employee is left the rest of that amount to pay. But if that increases, or if states have the ability to opt out of certain things, and then you've got to look at your Medicaid, where Arkansas, there's 60,000 people coming off the Medicaid, and then what's this going to do on top of that? The governor's already said he's concerned. And aren't the senators excluded from this health care plan? Aren't they going to be excluded and have their own separate insurance?
No. I'm currently on Obamacare, and was one of the guys that helped put it in. So the feeling being, if it was good enough for the American public, it was good enough for Congress. And I feel very strongly that whatever we come up with, that will continue.
Do you have the option to opt out or of the Obamacare
nope.
or not choose that and go with a separate plan for senators and congressmen?
Nope.
I guess my question.
No, me and my staff are on Obamacare.
Well, it's very concerning for the people that have Obamacare right now. I don't, but I know a lot of people that do, and service a lot of people that do as a provider.
What kind of insurance do you have?
I have employer-sponsored insurance. It's United Healthcare.
Okay. Are you looking at significant increases this next year?
Well, it went up this past year. It went up $20. I don't know about next year for 2018 yet. I haven't seen it You know, right. I've not had to do that yet. So I'm not sure about that, but it went up $20, but my age went up a year too, so I expect that. And that's what people don't understand. As they age, their insurance goes up. But unless you can control a little bit the formulary for, medications and equipment or supplies that are used and that kind of thing. And I understand about free enterprise, but there has to be some type of limits somewhere. If you can't control costs, you cannot control premiums.
Period, the end.
Then that's what it is for everybody anywhere. If you can't control the price of eggs and how much it costs you to have those eggs, you can't control their price out to the general public.
Mm-hmm. But you do that through competition. You do that through the thing that works is through the free market. And so those are the kind of things, increased competition, being able to shop across state lines.
Or single payer where somebody like CMS, Medicare, is paying you under the PPS score.
Well, single payer is a totally different animal. And if you're in Great Britain or whatever, then you're probably paying 11% or so payroll tax just for health care.
Yeah, but we're not. We're in Arkansas. And
No, I'm just saying that if you go down that path, and go single payer, it's not free. You know, everybody is mandated, and it just comes out of your check every month.
Right.
So it's a very expensive thing also. And the problem, too, is that most people, anybody of any means in Canada or the UK, they have additional health care insurance besides that because of the wait times and stuff if you actually do get sick or you need some sort of a procedure that's like a hip or a knee or something like that. I mean, they just stick you on the waiting list. So,
insurance premiums, insurance costs is all very complicated. And, obviously, I don't believe our president understood that. And if you look at what CMS does with Medicare, for instance, each Medicare beneficiary pays a premium. That is never, in talking about the real world, what is through news media, through news articles, through whatever comes out from congressmen and senators, nobody compares Obamacare prices to Medicare. They don't say Medicare costs you $450 a month or $500 a month. That's what your Part A premium is. And if you decide to have Part B, that's going to cost you an additional $160. So then you're at, let's say, $610 for an elderly person that's on Medicare. Nobody does the comparison between Medicare and Obamacare or Medicare and what this is going to be. That needs to be done so that people understand what their premium is now and what it's going to cost them later or what it may cost them in the real future if this passes. You understand
I understand it, and I agree with you. You know, certainly those are things that need to be done, and so people understand, what they're facing in the future. It's, as you said, it's, 16-18% of our economy. It really is complicated, but hopefully by the time we work through the Senate bill and then start working with the House again, we'll come up with something that will start controlling cost so that we don't have these, significant increases where, the average hardworking Arkansan gets themselves in a situation where they have a $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 deductible. So that's catastrophic insurance. It's not really insurance. But so I do appreciate you calling very, very much.
And where would I look for information on the VA legislation that y'all are talking about right now? Where would I find that? Is there anything in print on your website?
Do this for me. After we, as we wind down, if you'll stay on the phone, then you'll be able to leave a voice message. If you will leave your name and how we can contact you, then we'd be glad to get some information.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. And thank you for bringing that up. Like I said, that's important regarding the nursing home care. So yeah, no, I'd be glad to try and get you some information about that. Okay.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Let's go to our next caller. The point that she made regarding several points, but the point about the nursing home care really is important. That's something that we've got to get straight. We need the protections in place to protect veterans, but we don't want to do it such that the standards are where nobody will actually take it. The caller mentioned Medicare, and we're kind of getting ourselves in a situation there too, because the only way that the federal government has identified to actually save cost is to cut Medicare providers. And so it's getting more and more difficult to find a physician, a provider that will accept Medicare. And so, you got Medicare and you're great to have that and things, but if nobody's going to take it, that's a difficult situation. So we're not there yet, but it is getting more and more harder to find people that will take it. So let's go to our next call. Are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm a veteran myself, and I planned.
I appreciate your service. What branch?
The Army. I spent over 20 years. And I talked to a lot of young guys, and a couple of your listeners was on there was talking about the VA and having disabilities and stuff. I know a lot
yes.
of them, and I noticed that one guy came from Korea, probably was in a hurry to come home during that time. When I got out, I made sure that I had a physical taken from the VA to make sure my disabilities was on my
yes.
records. So therefore, when I got out, I automatically started getting my compensation of my disabilities.
Right.
And it's easier to prove while you're there than 10 or 15 years later trying to prove that you got that particular disease from the service.
No, you're exactly right. And one of the things that they're doing now is really making it a lot easier. They have a thing called the Transition Assistance Program, and it's much better than it used to be. But that's
right.
one of the things they really do work with men and women that are getting out of the service to make sure that, if they got hit in the head and had an injury that way or had broken a foot or this or that, then all of those things potentially can cause you more problems as you go on.
And, I talk to them, a lot of them will say, I feel it's going to be difficult to get a job. I got out in 94, and I worked for, I live here in Fort Smith area, and I worked for a company that accepted me for my disabilities and my abilities to do the work and be at work when necessary. I built myself up with a 401k and stuff like that. And then I have VA. I have CHAMPUS, or the TRICARE as it's known today.
Right.
And then I have my Medicare. Not Medicaid, but Medicare.
Right.
I hear a lot of them talk about the Medicaid portion of the Obama was probably a problem here in Arkansas. My concern is here in Arkansas, we passed this marijuana law. Right now, it hasn't got on its feet yet, I guess. But I'm questioning, is the governor taking that money and the cigarette taxes and whatever we pay and use that towards the Medicare and help some of this medical if it was made and designed for the elderly people and the disabled people?
Mm-hmm.
And hold that budget down.
Sure.
Tell that the one that you're on Obamacare, I was under the impression that most of the centers and all was using social medicine by going to the military hospitals there in Washington, D.C.
No,
Go ahead, sir.
No, like I say, myself and my staff, we're all on Obamacare.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We have TRICARE, which the government probably put some subsidies in there. I do have
TRICARE
to pay a deductible.
Is a good program. Uh-huh.
I have to pay a deductible. That's part of the business. I have to pay Medicare. I pay so much a month out of that to keep my Medicare. This year
right.
they gave us a $4 raise. That $4 raise went to the Medicare, not to my Medicare
Social
pension.
Security.
My Social
right.
Security.
Right.
I understand. I haven't really had no problems going to any of the doctors around here that denied me of anything.
No, that's important because, you know, sometimes we're getting ourselves in a situation where, many times the way they're getting around it is they're simply not accepting new Medicare patients, taking care of the patients that they have, but are reluctant to accept new. So sounds like you're blessed and getting good care, and again, that's a real blessing.
But being in the service, you know how they are. They always got us prepared for advance, not what happened yesterday, but what am I going to do when I leave the service tomorrow? And that's the way I look forward, not backwards. I always look forward. Why can't the government then come up with some deal of a social system that would take care of these people, of our elderly, the children that's unable to work, and the disability, and have something that we could reduce that down to a point that these premiums won't be so high on us elderly people, than to give this money away on these unnecessary programs.
No, I understand, and that's exactly what we're trying to do and should be doing. Establish what programs are beneficial, what aren't. Some programs need to be increased. You know, some programs need to be decreased. We've got a $20 trillion debt and $500 billion deficits every year. So just like yourself and hardworking families throughout Arkansas, when you get in that situation, you start to tighten your belt a little bit. And that's what we need to do.
And see, my other concern, too, is the young people say, well, I don't need it. I'm young. I don't get sick. But when they do get sick, they go to the hospital. Who pays for that bill? Because they don't have the money.
No, I understand. And you know, it's easier for you and I as you get older to understand those things. Sometimes when you're young, you feel like you're invincible. But as we know, you can get yourself in trouble. And if you're not insured, it doesn't matter what kind of resources if you have a serious problem, it can financially devastate anybody. So we don't want that situation.
We don't want that. And I get these young people that don't want to work because they don't feel like we're paying for something that they won't use. I've done it for 20-some years, paid on a policy for a public, out in the public that I didn't use until after I retired.
Right. Right. No, I agree. I appreciate you calling. I also appreciate your service to your country.
Thank you. I appreciate what you're doing here.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time.
And you have a good day.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Let's go to our next caller. Lots of variety of different issues and lots of veterans that have served their country, which is great. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of the questions, and I wanted to ask you about the new health bill, but I definitely do agree with the man who refused service at the VA because he made too much money. My husband and I have a combined Navy service of 48 years. And,
oh, that's great.
We were Vietnam vets. He had three tours in Vietnam.
Sure.
Of course, when
did he use the VA?
He went to the VA and they turned him away. He developed colon cancer. He went to the VA and they turned him away because he made too much money.
Is he still alive?
No, he passed away soon after that.
Okay. What they've done, you know, not too long ago is they've if you go to the VA and you're not service connected, in other words, if you don't have a problem that's connected to your service, but what they found was not too long ago that Agent Orange has a connection to colon cancer. And so they actually changed that. So that then they could get care.
Yeah, I tried very hard to connect that, but I requested copies of his service record, but they wouldn't give me copies of his health record or his page 5, which tour of duty stations.
Right.
And he was a CT anyway. It was classified where he was at.
Right, and that, sometimes that
jungle.
Makes it, Yeah, makes it difficult not knowing where those guys were at.
He was in the jungles of Vietnam, and I'm just wondering if that Agent Orange was connected with his colon cancer.
Yeah, I think there's a fair, you know, possibly a fair chance because those guys, you know, with the orders that they had, they didn't really talk about where they were at. But
right.
With him doing three tours, I would, you know, sadly, you know, many of those guys, most were subjected in some way.
Yeah. I'm wondering also why the Democrats are acting like spoiled children, five-year-olds, and why they cannot work with the president on this health bill. Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be like Nancy Pelosi says, that you don't know what's in it till you pass it?
Right. Well, we're going to be
hoping,
working.
I'm hoping they come to their senses and serve the American people and not their party.
Well, it's such an important thing. Again, 18% of the economy, it has to do with all of us. And it is something that we need to get right. And
yeah.
I think everybody, even they are admitting right now that what's going on just simply isn't working with the increased cost.
So many people are afraid that they're going to lose their health care.
Sure.
And they're losing it anyway with Obamacare, so I don't understand that reasoning. But
if it just simply outprices you, you know, where you're
right.
in a situation
you
where
you
simply can't afford it.
The deductibles,
yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, what does Obamacare do for those individuals who are unemployed and on welfare or public assistance? They're not charged for health care, are they, or do they go with Medicaid?
They would probably be on Medicaid.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that is the segment of society that is worried about being left out in the cold.
I think it really runs the gamut, and
yeah.
You know, you have people that you know are genuinely disabled that are very concerned about. You know, losing health care or it becoming unaffordable. You've got a lot of people that are working that are under the Affordable Care Act and they're getting some help, maybe, you know, to make it such that they can acquire insurance. You've got people that are a little bit over that line and they simply can't afford it. And so it's just all in there between. But the Senate's going to be working hard to try and again, make it such that affordability, that's really the piece that has to happen in the future.
I was hoping, you know, some people out here do not have computers and are not able to get online and read the bill, what it's about. I was wondering if there's going to be some sort of televised seminar or anything on say, C-SPAN or something that would explain what is in the bill for some of these people.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. I think that there will for sure. There's going to be, once we get the congressional budget score, there's going to be lots of talk about that, lots of, you know, hearing-type situations that will provide. Yeah, that will provide a lot of information. That's that.
Okay.
And then, two, you know, if somebody really wants to know, then, you know, you can run down, you know, if you have access to a library, you know, can run down and do that. So I appreciate you calling. I appreciate your
Thanks
service.
So
how many
much.
Years did
yes,
you
sir.
How many years did
I was
you say 20, you guys had together?
48 combined.
48. How long were you in?
I was in 22.
That's great. Very good.
And he was
and both,
26.
Uh-huh.
But,
and did you say both of you were Navy? Or?
Yes, sir. Both Navy.
Yeah.
I
that's
retired
great.
As a senior chief petty officer.
That's
and,
great. Well, my dad did 20-some-odd.
My husband.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Well, I feel like my wife outranks me. She wasn't in the military, but my dad did 20-some-odd years in the Air Force and retired as a master sergeant.
Oh,
We really do appreciate your service and appreciate
thank
all you represent.
You
so
we appreciate
thank you for
your
calling.
Service up there too, sir.
We're trying. We're doing our best. So.
Thanks
a bunch.
And I said hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's go to our next caller and see what kind of questions we got. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great.
Well, yes, you have, and many have actually asked some similar questions that I would. And unfortunately, I'm sure you're going to have a lot of questions still concerning the health bill that did pass. But I am one of those people who is on Obamacare and who barely reaches above poverty level. I work two jobs, and I barely make $32,000 a year by myself. So it is a huge, huge concern, it being my health on the line, especially since before having ACA, Obamacare, I was an idiot kid and thought I was invincible and didn't realize that something could happen, and I got meningococcal spinal meningitis at 25.
Oh, goodness, yeah. That's serious.
I barely lived through it, but I did make it, and that has created more complications for me in the future because it's a 10% chance of reoccurring, and there's so many issues that can happen after the fact. My fertility is now an issue, and I'm recently married and wanting to start a family, and now this bill comes out and you see the list of pre-existing conditions, and I'm sure not all of them are true, but I know that a majority of them are. We'll leave out the ridiculous and offensive like rape and tooth decay and Down syndrome and cerebral palsy that were listed on pre-existing conditions. Some of these you being born with, obviously, some of them being human. You cannot live a life and not get a cavity. It just doesn't happen. We're not all that lucky. But
certainly I haven't been.
Yeah, right. With the possibility of repeal and replace, I'm one of those people on that are on ACA, Obamacare, that would be kicked off and be, as so pointed out before me, left out in the cold with two jobs and rent to pay and food to make. And if I get afflicted with another illness, such as meningococcal spinal meningitis or something even more outlandish that can and does happen. Now I'm one of the people that many would complain about that I have to go to the emergency room and their taxes pay for my care. That isn't fair to them, and it isn't fair to me because now I have pre-existing conditions that would hike up my premiums that I can't afford. I can't afford insurance and health care. So a lot of those issues for pre-existing conditions that were listed are very much feminine issues, which is now drawing another civil line of disagreement from person to person, where I have to explain to my husband what exactly a misogynist is. I can't believe nobody knows that definition anymore, but these are things that come up now. How am I supposed to have a family and provide for my children if I can't afford health care?
No, I understand. And the key is, like you said, repeal and replace. Right now, there's simply nothing going on in healthcare that controls cost. And so your friends that are a little bit further along than you, now you're working hard, you're getting started, you're hopefully going to have a family. You say you were married? Or going to get
married? I've been trying to get into nursing school, but I've still had to do a two-year fight for that.
Yeah, and as time goes by, that's going to happen. You're going to become a nurse and stuff. But what happens then is you reach that threshold where you don't qualify for Obamacare anymore, the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you're in a situation where you've got you don't have insurance then because you got $5,000-$10,000 deductible. Many times for each one in the family. So that just doesn't work. So that's really what we're trying to do is come to task with all of these things to make the system work. So
how do you realize that your path is being an optometrist and going through medical school and having to see bureaucratic red lines with medical facilities, even in your position as an optometrist, before you were a senator, you understand that? I kind of did a little bit of research on you before I, signed
sure.
up for the phone
yes,
call,
ma'am.
And
yeah.
Unfortunately, I also know your net worth. But, these issues, don't you think that some of these premiums and insurance, shouldn't insurance companies be held accountable for the fact that they're hiking up premiums on newer customers to subsidize their profit loss that they've had in the last year or 2 years since ACA has come out? They're requiring their possible new insurees to pay for those profit losses by hiking up their premiums or making it even more difficult to get care. And not only that, you said price control, cost control, eggs were mentioned. You have pharmaceutical companies that are hiking up prices on medications like EpiPen, that 375% hike up on price for a life-saving device that these people have to have. This is not a question of you can live without.
I agree with you totally
there. Pharmaceutical companies should be held accountable as well and maybe have something that keeps their cost,
sure.
that they cannot rise, cap their cost.
No, these are drugs that, generic drugs. They've been around for a long time. And we have to, whether it's through the Food and Drug Administration, the Federal Trade Commission, you're right. Those things need to be looked into, and we need to see what the problem is in that regard. So there's just no excuse for that, and it's not right. And government, I think, does need to step in, looking hard at that, trying to figure out what's driving the cost. But medicines, as you point out, we've got problems with the Affordable Care Act, with the care as far as the practitioners providing the cost there. But then when you look at the medication aspect, it really is tremendous. And so, how do you do it?
They're paying for a large percentage of that to their consumer. And, they have to make a profit as a company. They are a company. They do have to make a profit, and they have to make up for profit loss. And I'm sure there was more than just $100 million that was lost to each company in the last year for insurances when ACA came out. And, I feel sorry for them. Not that much, because they do allow for those price hikes. And then when I was looking at pre-existing conditions, I could not find a concrete, solid definition. And I noticed that this was
done on purpose
so that each insurance company can vary that definition to suit their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is
also
ridiculous.
And that's being pointed out. And again, those are the kind of things that the Senate's going to be looking at as they start to craft their bill once we get the Congressional Budget Office score and go from there. But that's a valid point.
Well, I do very much appreciate your time. The only other question I had was for development of the economy here in Arkansas. I've noticed a lot of things going on in Conway, and I live in the Benton area. There's a few things going up here, but of course, like I said, I'm a fighting student. I'm wanting to be a student, but I've been denied, and I'm having to find another path with the skills I've already acquired. Now, my skills are communications, dispatch, logistics, shipping, all of these things. My area doesn't really hold that for employment, and of course, I want to do something better than work two, server jobs and try and make ends meet. I do want to be successful, but. What about infrastructure? What are we doing?
Well, you bring up a great point, because a lot of the jobs that not too long ago, you know, that were out there that you could make a living wage and do well. They're simply, it's more difficult now with those particular things. So there's lots of effort in retraining. There's lots of effort through, you know, various programs trying to get you the skills that you need so that, as you say, you can make a living wage. And the governor's working on hard on that. So I don't give up on that at all. Gosh, that's you know, you sound like a, you know, a very talented lady, and
thank you.
You know, you've got the opportunity to do that, you know, to move in a different direction. It takes time. It's a lot of hard work, as you know, but the payoff is so tremendous. And you might also call our Little Rock office and see if they've got any ideas as far as who to contact in that regard. Let me give you that number.
Absolutely.
You ready?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, it's 501-372-7153. So 501-372-7153. So give them a call. Tell them I said to be extra special nice to you.
Oh, well, thank you very much, sir. I truly appreciate it. And thank you for taking your time out today. I couldn't get Tom Cotton's office, and your receptionist was so kind and very ready to help. And the fact that you're doing this and being so busy, you know, from a listed Democratic position, I'm truly impressed and very, very appreciative. Thank you.
No. Thank you for calling, and appreciate your comments. So take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, this is we're going to take one more call, one more question, and then we're going to have to wrap it up. But if you have a question, you know, and we didn't get to you, stay on the phone once we get done, and you'll get the opportunity to leave a voicemail. And if you'll do that, then you can leave a comment or a question, whatever you feel like is important for me to hear, and then, you know, we'll listen to that and get back to you, okay? So let's go to our last caller. Are you
Hello,
there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here. I'm so happy I made it, the last one. But, yeah, this is Richard Ames.
You've been living right.
Yeah, I must be. I'm here in Perigo. I've got the first, I've got a couple statements, and I got some suggestions for you on the budget. But first, let me tell you, you've got a very hard job with this correcting Obamacare thing, and I really keep praying for you guys that, and I know you'll come up with the right thing, because what I understood was you were against the first idea they had from the House, which was not a good one. But I have full faith that you and Senator Cotton will work together with my rep and Crawford, and you'll get this out. Even though I know the media is against you, and every Democrat and yet in the Congress is. But
right. Well, we appreciate that, and appreciate your prayers.
Okay, thank you. And here's what. Let me just make a statement first. I saw this reconciliation of the budget. Extremely disappointed. I'm a pro-life, although I grant, and I'm actually military, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I fought. You know, I spent many years in the military to give. If someone wants to have an abortion, I'm personally against it. As a Christian, I'm against it. But if they want to do it, that's their thing. But I'm just when I saw that thing from Planned Parenthood a couple years ago, it upset me so bad that they were selling body parts, and we were promised by a lot of Republicans that they were going to defund Planned Parenthood and give the money to someone else, but not to Planned Parenthood. And I saw in the budget, y'all gave $500 million back, you know, Planned Parenthood, increased the money for the arts, increased the money for EPA, still giving money to the Palestinians who give money to the bombers, their families, and I'm hoping that you'll fix this next budget. I mean, one more try. I don't want to get in an argument with you. I don't want to, and I'm not sure if you were for it or against it either, but just to let you know, from a person who's been supporting Republicans for many, many, many years, I really thought that this time it would have happened. We've been promised many times. So I'm hoping the fiscal year 18, it'll finally happen that we'll get those
sure.
things done. And I know you're getting some things done, and I'll give you credit for that, too. But let me give you something else, too, Matt.
Sure.
Okay, just giving my history. I was 10 years active duty with the Air Force. Then I went into reserves and civil servants. So I've been with the Air Force for 40 years. I'm retired now. I'm retired chief, master sergeant, militarily and civil service. If you look at when you start working on that budget, please consider Hannity's, the penny plan. I mean, that's a possibility. I was in since 68. And during the Reagan years, I can remember them we took 3%, 5% cuts in the military, and we lived with it. I mean, there was so much waste in the government. If you remember the old, what they call it, the fraud, waste, and abuse, if you would get that going, maybe get some congressional groups, or maybe get with President Trump and have them get a select board that could get people within each organization to get rid of some of their, just to turn in some of their fraud, waste, and abuse, and maybe get a bonus of 1% if they, because, I mean, you've seen it too, where they've got shrimp on treadmills and all this waste that goes on. It's just terrible. And I think if we just got rid of some of the waste, we wouldn't have to do away with some of the good programs that are helping people in need. And I'm not in need, and I'm just thankful I'm not. But I think there's so much waste and abuse that we could get that budget squared away. But I think we need to get that budget under control. Let me tell you where I'm coming from as an old Air Force person.
Oh, no. You're good, yeah.
At the end of the year, the end of every fiscal year, we used to spend thousands because we have excess money. And what we do is spend it. Because if we didn't spend our allocation from the base, and our services, so I usually got, we bought boats, we can't do that anymore, but that's when everybody gets all the nice fancy furniture and all that stuff, and it still goes on, because if you don't spend 100% of your budget, by the way, the budget officer at every base, and I'm sure other organizations too, get bonuses on their appraisal. Because they could, if they spend 99.9% of the budget, instead of in the commercial world where the budget officer gets a bonus if he doesn't spend all his budget, he saves money. So it's just the reverse. So we're taught to spend our money. We get it. We spent it. And it's a whole change of attitude I think we need to do. Somehow to give bonuses, employee bonuses for people for not spending all the money. That's fraud.
No, I agree with you totally. There's tremendous fraud. We see a lot of that with the IRS, things like that. We see people, taking benefits that they shouldn't. You know, we talked a lot about service benefits and things, and certainly, you know, those are for people that genuinely are deserving, meet the standard that you need to meet. But there's a lot of people that simply built the system, and so we need to work on that. One thing that the president's doing that I've been impressed with in the Office of Management and Budget is really the entity that is kind of the comptroller, the financial aspect of government.
Right.
They're placing people in all throughout the various organizations, throughout the various agencies, whether it's defense or whatever, a lot more people than they've ever had before. And they're watching the spending. They're watching to see how it's done. And they are committed to trying to find some of the waste and fraud that you're talking about. But that's really the only way to do it. It's a lot of hard work, but it simply has to be done. We're in a situation now where with $20 trillion indebtedness and these $500 billion deficits, just like anybody else, any Arkansan, any hardworking Arkansan family, you roll your sleeves up and you cut back. But it's one thing to cut back. It's another thing to still be spending money on some of the things you just described, some of the waste and things. So,
well, absolutely. And, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I know you're getting moving to the time. The other person talked about she couldn't get, I guess, the VA to approve a daycare center or home or some kind of hospital help because they weren't paying $15 an hour?
The health care, no, it had to do with it had to do with health care in the sense of needing like home health care, actually
right.
Nursing home health care. So you had a situation where the rest home, they met all of the Medicare standards, all of the Medicaid standards. The CMS, the ones, the big government agency that controls all that stuff, you know, writes off and says they're fine. You know, they're a government. You know, we will deal with them. They're good enough for the government, but they're not good enough for VA according to the VA standards. So
right.
Many of these entities have just said, "Well, the heck with it. We simply can't do that," and so veterans aren't getting the care that they need.
Well, the problem is, it's called the prevailing wage. The Services
uh-huh.
Contract Act. Are you familiar with that? It's an old
yes.
acronym. It's either 85 or 65. Well, what it does, it forces, when you get a government contract, and I've seen it a lot. I've seen it, people doing work in my building or, you know, even contractors, local contractors, installing carpet. They're so happy when they get a carpet contract because they're making $4 to $5 an hour more when they're
sure.
on the base and they do the same job. Well, that prevailing, so why we do, I mean, it's, to me, it's such a waste. It's not. It's supposed to be 50%, I believe, 50% of the prevailing wage. It's
right.
way more than anybody's making. Why don't we just do bids and let the company decide how much that person's going to get paid? Because we're paying a lot more for these contracts than we would if we didn't tell them how much to pay the employees.
No, you're exactly right. And in this case,
but I understand the union's the one that controlled that.
Sure.
They bought that years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and in this case, it is prevailing wage, but it even goes beyond that. You know, with just other things, these nuisance things that drive these entities crazy. But you're right. It you know, with our road construction, federal road construction, all of that is put in. So what it does is drive the cost up, and so you just can't get as much done. So you take inflation in the factor and things like this, and that's one of the reasons that we're having so much trouble with our infrastructure. You know, getting those dollars to we should be making such that those dollars to go as far as they can go, rather than playing some of these games that we're doing. I've voted against that stuff. Well, I've voted against that stuff on several occasions. The problem is just getting enough, you know, members of Congress getting the votes together to actually say no, you know, to some of the union influence and things like that.
Yep. And again, the three of you have supported my beliefs for years, and I'm proud of living in the area where I am. But maybe you can get to some of President Trump's people, and that's part of the swamp that needs to be drained. Yeah, it's just that prevailing wage is just another
yeah.
way for people to get more money off the government, and it's killing
yeah, no,
our budget.
I don't disagree at all. I think you're absolutely right. Appreciate you calling.
Right. Well, thank you, sir. Thank
and
you for having
thank
us.
You for your service to our country in lots of different ways. So,
yeah.
thanks again.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to you know, be on the calls tonight. Again, if you'll stay on as we get off, you'll have the ability to leave a message, and then we will go through that and make sure that you know, that we get all of the things answered that we were. So if you weren't able to ask a question, I still want to hear from your comments. And then again, if you've got a question besides a comment, let us know and we'll get back to you. So you can do that by leaving a voicemail, and we will follow up. So if you would, just stay on the line. And thanks again for joining us. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.